Sarah Tseng. Today I'll be presenting on an evaluation of risk factors and a community intervention to increase control and treatment of asthma in a low-income, semi-rural California community. Yes. Is that better? And my name is Rainbow Vogt, and at the time I was at the Stanford Prevention Research Center. And I have no financial disclosures related to this presentation to disclose. So the Steps to a Healthier U.S. initiative is a CDC-funded program targeting diabetes, obesity, and asthma through health promotion and disease prevention. And it takes place in 40 communities across the U.S., pictured here, including Salinas, California, which is where we were focused. And that's a semi-rural agricultural community in Monterey County, California. And as you can see here, looking at the Hispanic, foreign-born, and English not spoken at home, the percentages in Salinas are substantially higher compared to the U.S. averages. And so our target population was the semi-rural community of Mexican Americans who experience limited resource access, especially in terms of health care and education. So generally speaking, asthma is a problem for at least 30 million Americans. Women and children are disproportionately affected, with over double the rates compared to men. Well, you can see here it 9% compared to 4. And minority and low-income families are also disproportionately affected, and like other chronic diseases, the physical environment determines exposure to a range of risk factors. So it follows then that there's a documented link between poorer asthma and control and poorer quality of life. And the most relevant study on this topic was a home survey of 644 Latino households in Salinas that, when compared with representative national survey data from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, were more likely to have rodents peeling paint, leaks under sinks, and higher residential densities, which are all factors associated with asthma. And then on the topic of obesity, which is also highly related to the built environment, there's been some discussion about asthma and obesity and the relationship between the two. So that's a topic that we are interested in. And the most related study on this topic was one in LA conducted with over 600 Mexican-Americans, and the Mexican-American urban population is the fastest growing segment of our overall population. And they found that there was that obesity had a 50% prevalence and was significantly associated with asthma, as well as hypertension, heart failure, and arthritis, among others. So the objectives of this study were to identify asthma risk factors present in this community and to evaluate a community-based intervention that aims to increase control and treatment. And this study uses data from a cross-sectional health survey developed by the CDC to monitor prevalence of risk factors and healthcare access. And for the evaluation, semi-structured interviews were conducted with key informants involved with clinical, school, and community components of the intervention. And here are some images used in social marketing of the project. And then to identify risk factors associated with current asthma, we ran separate forward stepwise logistic regression models for adults and parents of children with asthma using these demographic, healthcare, and lifestyle variables. And in particular, I'll refer to, under the healthcare access variables, I'll refer to healthcare insurance coverage, as well as those bottom two could not afford doctor in the past 12 months and could not afford a prescription medication. So 4,925 adults were included in this analysis, 51% of which were Mexican American and 32% of which lacked a high school diploma. And the prevalence of asthma was proportional to that nationwide, slightly lower in women and children at 7.7 and 7% compared to 9. In terms of severity, 19% of women and 25% of men who reported asthma, having asthma, said that they had a symptom once or more a day in the last 30 days. And one measurement of severity defined as days unable to attend work or school because of asthma in the last 12 months, we found that, if you can see in the second line down, about a quarter of both women and children missed 1 to 6 days in the last year. And then regarding management, only 23% of women and 18% of men had ever taken a course to manage their asthma, but slightly more had taken, of the parents of children with asthma, had taken a course to manage the asthma in their children. That was 36%. We found that children whose parents were unable to afford prescription medication were significantly more likely to have asthma than those parents who could afford it. And then two other significant predictors for childhood asthma were English language spoken at home and having health insurance. And then among the risk factors faced by this group, 20% of women and men with asthma were current smokers and or exposed to passive smoking, and more than 50% reported having less than the recommended physical activity, and nearly 40% were obese or morbidly obese, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. And then in terms of our objectives of the study to identify risk factors, two strong modifiable risk factors associated with current asthma were could not afford prescription medication in the last 12 months and morbid obesity. And then here's a breakdown of overweight among asthmatics compared to non-asthmatics. So on your left is asthmatic women, then the asthmatic men column compared to non-asthmatics. And you'll see that, well, in asthmatic women, they have a much higher percentage of morbid obesity compared to non-asthmatics. And among asthmatic men, over 40% are overweight and, you know, presumably in the pipeline to become obese and to have, you know, be in obese families. And in terms of preventive medication, among those who reported having one or more episodes of asthma in the last 30 days, about a third had not used any preventive medication, and over half, in both the case of women and men, had not used prescription, any kind of inhaler. So there's definitely an access issue going on. And then to illustrate that is this chart, which shows the prevalence of asthma among those able to afford compared to not able to afford prescription medication. So it's over double the percentage of asthma among those unable to afford medication. So then, you know, we thought it was somewhat safe to conclude that there's somewhat an inability to afford prescription medications, and that's likely to contribute to a poor control of asthma and the high number of missed days of work or school among those with asthma. Okay, and so here are the healthcare access variables that I was referring to. First, in the yellow, is non-asthmatics and no healthcare. So the first group is no healthcare coverage, and then the second is no doctor, like not being able to afford a doctor in the last year, and the third is not being able to afford medicine. And so you'll see actually that among in the healthcare coverage, the non-asthmatics actually have a higher percentage of lacking healthcare, but then asthmatic women, there's a much higher percentage of not being able to afford going to the doctor or having medicine, even if they do have health care. So again, it's an affordability issue. So in terms of limitations to our study, I had mentioned the study showing that Salinas households are likely to have these contaminations. And unfortunately, the survey data we used had no measures of the home environment. So that would be one thing. Also, the data are self-reported. So measures like BMI are notoriously biased. There are no psychosocial factors in the survey we used, which factors like depression might be related. There was no, we didn't ask specific types of prescription medications, so in terms of asthma versus some other type of medication they might not be able to afford. And finally, these findings may not be generalizable to other medically underserved populations. So even within our population, for example, the clinics we spoke to, like there was one clinic that was able to provide free service and free prescription medication for their patients, regardless of their citizenship status or anything like that. And so, they were having pretty good results, whereas other clinics that didn't have programs in place like that, obviously maybe weren't even able to prescribe the medication in the first place, knowing that patients couldn't really afford it. So that's anecdotal, but and then we recommend having public health interventions designed to address multiple but related asthma risk factors, like I've talked about in the presentation. Access to health care certainly is one, obesity prevention, dietary intervention. Some of the clinics we talked to also, one of them said that the highest triggers they found when they were educating the patients were food related, so like corn and chicken and dairy, and so that's definitely an area of potential focus. And then housing conditions, as mentioned, and then any additional stressors. So I'd like to thank the CDC and the Monterey County of Public Health and Stanford Prevention Research Institutes and the Public Health Institute. Thank you. All right, so.